Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today's Friday, December 18th, Kelsey.
Woohoo!
Exactly one week before Christmas.
I know. I can't believe it.
It's kind of unusual it's on a Friday, right? I mean, often it's on a Thursday.
Right.
Right? So it's so a lot of people are confused this year. I was, too, until I realized it's exactly a week from today. So we're looking forward to that. You're going to go out of town next week.
I am.
Which will be cool for you.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And I know, I wish I was going somewhere, but just be careful with all the crowds and everything.
I will.
Right?
I will, yeah.
Not that you can do anything about it, but...
Right.
Yeah, it does get pretty
busy. I tried to schedule a little bit before the major travel days and a little bit after the major travel day coming back after Christmas. So
right.
Hopefully I'll kind of miss the crowds. Flying out of San Antonio, it's never a big deal. The crowds are so minuscule compared to LAX.
No, I know. When you try to leave here, though, it's always
that's
so
the problem.
Crowded, right?
Yes. Yeah. And let's see, the 22nd I'm leaving, so I don't know. It'll probably be pretty busy then.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Oh, well, yeah. It's worth it, right?
It is. It's totally worth it. It's just a little bit of time, and then you're there. So
exactly. Exactly. So you guys going to have like what, get-togethers, family get-together, things like that?
We will. We, you know, have a big soiree every year. And I actually am not sure whose house we're going to this year. We always pick somebody's. Sometimes it's ours. For Thanksgiving, we actually went to my sister's. She got a beautiful new home in Lytle, Texas. So her and her husband and her new baby girl. So that was really, really a fun celebration. But I'm not sure where we'll be this year. But yeah, we all get together and on Christmas Day and have a grand old time. Eat lots of food.
Yeah.
We're stuffed for the next week.
Yeah. And open up presents and everything.
Oh, yes.
That's cool, right?
That's the best part.
Yeah, I guess
I went shopping yesterday, actually, after the show, because we're by the mall. I did. I got a few things. It wasn't too bad. It wasn't really crazy yet, I don't guess. I went during the day, so that's probably why.
Yeah.
I'm sure most people go after work, so.
But it hasn't been too bad, you know. I mean, I sometimes try to avoid the malls. But during the holidays, but it's actually fun, you know, so it takes you 5 more minutes to find parking or something, you know, but
it's so cheery and they have like Christmas music playing and it smells good and there's just something happy about it. I don't know.
There is because once Christmas is over, you feel sort of a letdown, right? I mean, I know it's for me, it's like a build up and then we go back to normal life again.
Right. It's like high school prom. Yeah. It's like you're so excited and then it comes and you're like,
yeah, but then it's over, you know.
Yes. And you have to take down the decorations and do all that jazz. But that's okay. That's the best part of life, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Keeps moving on.
Exactly. If we had Christmas every day, it would be special.
Right.
Well, in a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in. She's one of the authors of a book called You're Tearing Us Apart. And that sounds pretty interesting about relationships and stuff and how people wreck their relationships. Have I done that before? I think I have. I had some tough years in my 30s, so I kind of like, I think, caused my divorce way back when. But so I took like responsibility for it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes two, I think, and we're going to ask her about that, you know. Because,
of course.
You know, sometimes you just give up on a person, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, there are so many factors, I think, you know, that go into making it work.
Yeah, I know. What's the longest relationship you've ever been in?
Oh, my goodness. 3 years.
3 years?
Yeah.
That's pretty long.
It is.
Right?
Yeah, 2.5, 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's good. And so I would imagine it was good for if it lasted that
great.
Long.
Great. Yeah.
Right? Today,
really
I mean,
great.
Today 3 years is a long time.
I know.
For anything, right?
Yeah. Great years.
Yeah.
Great years.
I know. I've been mostly in long relationships in my life. You know, I mean, there were times I wanted to sort of like play the field, but sure. I was never like that, you know.
Just wasn't in you. Some people, it's just not.
Yeah, I know. But now that I'm older, that I can't do it that much.
Hey, you can. Come on.
There's... Yeah. No, I mean, to play the field and stuff, that's what I mean, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of people.
You think
but,
your
you
field
know
playing days are kind of behind
yeah,
you.
Yeah. You know what? Let me put it straight to you. You know, women in their 50s are not as attractive as they used to be.
Sure.
So it's kind of like harder to be attracted to anybody, you know. And I try, you know, but... I seem to have a lot more success with younger women, but, you know, what do you have to offer them when you're 55, you know? They want to get married, they want to start families and everything. So, you know, you start looking at your late 40s and early 50s, and it's not the same, you know? And what happens is, as a man, you don't really realize you've aged, you know? Now, you know, I'm sure for many women it's like that too, you know, and they seek younger people and stuff. But for men it seems to be like in our DNA and stuff, you know. I mean, just if you don't believe me, look at the people that actually can get younger women. They get women that are much younger than they are, you know. I mean, look, Billy Joel, right? He's one in his 60s. He just married a 34-year-old or something, right?
Yeah.
Who else? I'm trying to think of all the people. I mean, Howard Stern, he was in his 50s. His wife was in her 30s when they got married, his second wife. So, yeah, when they can, they do, you know.
Yeah, it seems to be kind of a culture out here, for sure.
But, you know, well, I don't know if it's just here, you know. I
mean, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere, you know. It's
I think.
I mean, look, even those some pathetic... people that marry 9-year-old girls, you know, in Islam and things like that, you know. I mean, what's that all about? It's totally sick, but it still shows you it's in our DNA to go for younger women, you know. I think maybe because they represent fertility and stuff, you know, in the primitive way of looking at things.
Yeah, I definitely think it's biological.
Yeah.
I mean, that has a lot to do with it for sure. They can reproduce, so of course you naturally go for them.
Right. And it's amazing to me. I mean, someone like Billy Joel in his 60s would have a baby now. I mean, come on, you know. You're not going to be around to see a baby reach 20, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, you know. So, but people do that, you know. What can you say?
They do.
Yeah.
I know.
So, yeah, it's people, you know, and... So like I said, you know, I kind of feel I've missed out on something when I didn't play the field younger.
I see.
In my life, you know.
I mean,
look, in my teens.
When did you get married? Like, how old were you?
Well, I wasn't young. I mean, my first marriage, I was married at 30.
Okay, so that's a good time.
No, actually, wait. No, I was 27, but still.
Oh, that's pretty young.
Is it?
Maybe not back then, though. Back then.
Well, you know, back then, I mean, 20 years ago, you know?
Yeah, no, that's actually not that long ago, but...
Actually, it's more than that. It's almost 30 years
ago. Oh, my gosh. I mean, see, my dad was 23, and my mom was 26, I believe, when they got married.
Yeah, that's
so
young.
That's young.
Right.
You know, he was
but
really
people
young.
Do get married at that age, you know? I mean, still people do. I'm amazed how many 25-year-olds get married, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But they do, you know, because, and there's nothing wrong with it, really. But I think later on you wake up and you go, gee, I should have met a few more people, you know. But not everybody feels that way. I'm not saying everybody does.
Right.
But, you know, I mean.
You know, it's so funny. I've never.
For men, it's like conquest, you know.
I've never been one of those people either who can hate somebody after a relationship. Like, it's so funny because I'm still friends with, like.
I know, me
know,
too.
A lot of my. Because, you know, you spend time with them. And
exactly.
They were such a big part of your life for a while. And. Why would you hate them? I mean...
Right. Unless they wrecked the relationship, you know, and that's
well,
what we're going to talk about, you know.
Yeah. But the funny thing is, I guess maybe I'm too forgiving. I still usually am like, oh, well.
Yeah, exactly. Why hold a grudge,
water
right?
under the bridge, you know. Move along.
You know, people don't understand when you hold a grudge, it's like you're poisoning yourself, not anybody else, you know.
That's so true.
Because you're the one dealing with it. You know, the other person couldn't care less.
Exactly. They're like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. So, you know, you just gotta, I think you gotta be fair. You know, you got to be fair. And like you said, it's hard to believe some divorces, some nasty divorces of people that used to share a bed, you know.
I know.
I mean, how can you possibly go from one extreme to the next?
Well, you know, I always say that there's kind of a fine line between love and hate.
That's true,
and
huh?
They're
both strong emotions.
They are. Yeah. And so I think that kind of comes into play. Yeah. But over time, usually it subsides and things can calm down.
I know, and then you can become friends and meet each other's new spouses and things like that. You know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, even my very first boyfriend from Texas, Kevin, I don't have anything against him. I wish him all the best. And hey, you know, they were some good times. We had some great times.
Well, you seem like an easygoing person.
Yes, I can't see very
holding grudges. And
sometimes
stuff,
too easygoing, I guess. Yeah, I'm like, right? Yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Sounds good to me.
This is the way to be. Be a Teflon. Nothing sticks to you. You
right,
know?
I am like that.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, it is. I'm so happy it's Friday.
I know. I know, it's amazing.
Do you have any plans this weekend?
No, I never do.
You never do?
No, you learn from me. I never do. I come up with them as it happens, and then maybe I have something to tell on Monday. But yeah.
You know, it's so funny. I was supposed to go to a Christmas party for BMW at the bungalow in Santa Monica on Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
And of course, I got lazy by the time, because I had worked all day. I'd come to the station, and then after that, I went straight to a fitness shoot.
Right. And that makes you tired.
And worked until 5.
Yeah.
And so by the time I got home, and it was like cold, and I'm not one to face the elements.
Yeah. Like, who wants to
unless,
go out? Right?
Unless forced. So I was like, yeah, I'll take a rain check on this one. But Saturday, tomorrow, oh my gosh, tomorrow, I'm going to Dana Point. Have you been there?
Oh, beautiful.
I love it.
There. Yeah, that's in Orange County.
It is. I love Orange County.
Yeah.
I think part of the reason I love it is because the culture and landscape and everything is quite, well, minus the ocean, is really similar to Texas.
Oh, okay.
Like their shopping centers and everything.
Really?
It's very similar, yeah, to like the nice parts of Texas. So I like that. And so we're going down to work, but it's still kind of fun work. It's not like grueling work.
Yeah.
And then Sunday, I believe I'm going to a Christmas party. So I'm going to make myself go to that one.
Nice.
It's an all white party. So I'm lucky because I have a white dress. I never wear anything white because I get stains on everything.
Really?
But I did break down a while back and bought a white dress that I have yet to wear.
That's interesting because white parties are usually in the summer, I think. I remember I went to one this past summer. Anyway, let me interrupt you because our guest is calling
in
now. And we're going to go ahead and take that. Good morning. Is this Pat Love with us?
This is she.
Yeah,
here
good
I
morning.
Am.
Welcome to the show. Now, I noticed you have an area code. Is that from Texas?
We live in Austin, Texas, between Austin, Texas and Pagosa Springs, Colorado. So we're in Colorado right now. Uh-huh. Our main home base is Austin. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I went to college in Austin at the University of Texas.
Hook 'em.
I know. Hook 'em. I love it. I love it. It's a second home. I'm from Texas, but good college memories there.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
Now, isn't it amazing? I could recognize by the area code where she's calling from.
That is amazing.
You know
actually.
How I
512.
Know? It's not like it's saying. It's not like it says so here. But the funny thing is, I used to be a telephone operator way back when in the 80s.
That is funny.
In the late 70s, actually. So we didn't have to memorize them, but after using them a lot, the area codes, you start remembering them. You
sure.
Know? So I remember that.
Well, here's the thing. Austin is now big enough to have 2. We were all very disappointed.
Oh, I see.
Now, yes.
That is sad.
And now you have to dial 512 for a local call. And the old timers, we don't like that either. But
exactly.
It's the way it is.
Yeah, welcome to the new world. You know, we just have so many people, you know. And so Pat, thank you for calling us. Oh, so now you're in Colorado, did you say?
Yes, we're up here for the holidays. Yes.
Oh, how nice. Where in Colorado are you?
Pagosa Springs. It's not far from Durango, Wolf Creek Ski Resort area.
Oh, gorgeous.
Very nice.
Oh, my goodness. So you're chilly.
Yeah, you know how to live, let me tell you.
Yeah, it's like 5 below this morning.
Oh, goodness.
I don't know how you guys
but
do
it's
this.
It's also a winter wonderland. I mean, yeah. The snow is clinging to the trees, and everything is white, and Yeah.
Wow, very cool. You know, for us, it's clear sky, summer, dry. That's pretty much it. You know, I mean, it's beautiful, but when it gets to be 50 degrees, we start complaining here.
We do.
Yeah, I feel sorry for you.
Thank you, Pat. All right, let's get to the book, Pat. You're part of a writing team. How many co-writers did you have for this book? One, two?
I had two co-writers, Eva Berlander from Sweden, from Kungsbacka, Sweden, and Kathleen McFadden, who's a researcher-writer in Austin. And so the three of us, Kathleen is the one that put these two worlds and 50-plus years of therapy experience together to make a book.
Oh, wow, very interesting. Now, the book is You're Tearing Us Apart, 20 Ways We Wreck Our Relationships and Strategies to Repair Them. That's a lot. That's a big promise there. Let's talk a little bit about relationships. Obviously, we're not going to go over the 20 and stuff, but so 50-plus years of research and clinical practice put together into this book. Now, are you saying, like, would you say today there are a lot more marriages breaking apart than there used to be?
Well, actually, the divorce rate has leveled off since, like, the late 70s and 80s. But one of the reasons why it's leveled off is fewer people are getting married. More people are choosing.
Well, that's always a strategy.
It sort of sounds like good news, you know.
Right.
But truthfully, human beings have practiced serial monogamy for eons. Mm-hmm. And forever after is longer than it used to be. You know, the lifespan now is 120. The largest subgroup of individuals in the U.S. is people living past 100.
Wow.
So to say forever after, that's a long time.
Yeah, huh? Wow.
Longer than it used to be.
I know, wow.
That is a long time. It's funny that you mentioned that because I have a friend who majored in psychology in college, and she was telling me that the fact that we are living so much longer is why sometimes monotonous relationships forever are not practical. How do you feel about that?
You mean monogamous?
There's really good, clear research that indicates that for some of us, monogamy is just our impulse. It's easy. It's our natural state. And for, you know, almost 40% of the population, it's not their natural state. Doesn't mean they can't do it and can't make a choice, but the impulse to be bonded to one person forever, it takes conscious thought. So it's not their motivation nor their impulse. And so I think we don't like to think about that when you're going into a committed relationship, but that's the reality. That to think I'm only going to have sex with this one person forever.
That's so crazy, people, right? Oh, how interesting.
You know, and you know, and the thing is, I've always said that what happens is this. Look, you grow up, and until you meet, until you get married or get into a committed relationship, you are expected. And not just expected, but you're attracted to the opposite sex, you know, in case of, in straight sex, let's say, but because we're talking about that for a moment. But so let's say, for example, a man or a woman, all their lives they're attracted to the opposite sex. And then suddenly when they settle down, they're supposed to not be attracted to other people anymore.
Right.
You know,
right.
So to me, monogamy is not a natural state. And I think it's something that, you know, I think was done. It sort of evolved with people. Would you
Right.
Would you agree
yes.
with that?
Yes. You know, until the agrarian age, we didn't have the need for pair bonds as much. It was more of a communal, tribal existence.
Right.
And so when we started owning land and property, we needed to know who's going to help us defend that property. So there are many, many rationales for monogamy and pair bonds. We've always needed one another, but one another could be one other person or the tribe or the community. So in many ways, it's a relatively new phenomenon to think you're going to be with someone for 80 years, you know, or 75 years and never stray. The other thing you were mentioning that is so important is attraction is about your DNA. If you meet enough people, you're going to find more than one person with whom you have chemistry and more than one person to whom you're attracted. So, and I think what people misunderstand is what a strong drive that is. So when you meet someone, if I've chosen to be committed and made that commitment, and I go, oh, there's a gorgeous male, female, whatever, and you feel that chemistry, right then is the best time to make a decision about what to do about it. Because if you follow the chemistry and you follow the attraction, then we have one of the strongest drives known to humans that takes over. And what we know from research is once you're under the influence of infatuation, which comes from following the attraction and the chemistry, there's little or no blood flow going to the neocortex. So we're not in our rational mind anymore.
Right.
So
I know the
really
blood flow.
Important.
The blood flow go to other parts of the body.
I can see lots of men. I can see lots of men using that excuse.
Yes, exactly. So this is why you have to make that. It's a conscious decision because we're all attracted to individuals. You know, here's a common question I get asked: why am I always attracted to the bad boy or the bad girl? And I said, we're all attracted to them. The key is what you do about it, and can you get out when you realize they're never going to be committed or they're not going to treat you well, you know, they're not going to be good for you and they're not a good match. Can you get out? They're all attracted. They're charming.
Right.
You know?
So I'm wondering something. When I'm in love, maybe I'm in the person that is, you know, monogamous by nature, because I really don't want to have sex with anybody else.
Right.
Me either.
That's
a really important difference. And people who aren't, you know, inoculated with the monogamy needle don't understand this. But that's one of the signs I know I'm in love. I lose all attraction for others.
Me too.
It's not that I don't like them. In fact, there's some of us who bond too quickly. It's like you're nice to me in the elevator and I'm in love. And you send me two wonderful texts and I think you're my soulmate. You know, or I've never met you. I have a dear friend who for a year gave all her money and mortgaged her house to a man on the internet that she'd never met.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Whoa. And so... Yeah, this is a personal, close friend.
Oh, wow.
And I've had clients who've been through the same thing. So there are those of us who get bonded and are just inoculated with that monogamy needle, and we can't let go no matter what they do to us. So, you know, and I'm not saying you and I are both that way, because the key is, once you know it's not a good match, can you get out? And that's easier. It's not as easy as it sounds.
Right.
Because that drive is so strong.
Sure. Yeah.
That's true, yeah. So tell us, what are some of the ways that people wreck their relationships? I mean, you're talking about a couple things here, alcohol use, sexual withholding, you know, which I find interesting.
Yeah.
Affairs, of course, that people go through. So tell us a little bit about that. Is it usually like one person, two people responsible? How does it work?
Well, one of the myths we were trying to dispel with the book is that it takes two. And my point is, if you and I are in a relationship, I don't make you drink. You don't make me overspend. That's a personal choice. Now, when you ask, what is it that tears people apart? Let me go from large to small. Large is that 80% of couples who divorce or separate say, we grew apart. What does that mean? Growing apart means one or both of us have withdrawn, taken away our interest and our energy. And that an interest or energy or focus or attunement or your curiosity goes to alcohol, sex with somebody else, controlling your partner, getting angry. If you use methods that disconnect you from your partner to manage your own stress, then you're taking away the fuel of the relationship. Relationships die for lack of attention and interest and energy.
Right.
And when it dissipates and goes somewhere else, we're in it for that intimacy, for the closeness, for the contact, for the collaboration, for having someone who has my back, who's on my side, in my corner. And if we're committed, you get a special part of me that nobody else gets. Mm-hmm. And you get an interest and an energy and a curiosity. Nobody else gets that. And you're a priority to me.
Right.
So when that starts to dissipate, wherever you're taking it, then the relationship starts to wither. Does that make sense?
It does.
It does make sense. But at the same time, I'm thinking, I think people can grow apart also because people naturally change, So let's say at a certain point in your life, 10 years ago, you met this person, you guys were getting along great, you wanted to spend the rest of your lives together, but then 10 years later, you realize the interests have changed, the attraction has changed, things like that. And that's why they say we grew apart, whereas opposed to some other people that grow closer.
Well, you're bringing up an issue that I think maybe we have to mature as a culture and as a human being to be able to look at it this way. But when you really say we grow apart, why then does divorce have to be so acrimonious? One of the changes I would hope we would be able to make is to acknowledge that we're living longer and that this may be, I say people come in your life for a reason, for a season, for a lesson, or a lifetime. And not everybody comes in for a lifetime. They may be a reason or a season or a lesson. So I think that it's going to take maturity and experience for us to acknowledge that, because I think you're right. You can do nothing wrong, and yet, here's what I say to my clients. I say, you two want two different lives.
Yeah,
you want two different lives.
Right.
You're trying to put a square peg in a round hole. You want two different lives.
Right.
And you're right that we can grow apart. My friend and colleague Esther Perel has done a fantastic job talking about there are lots of reasons why people have affairs or choose other partners or move on, and one of them can be a flight toward health. It can be that, I've grown up and now I don't need someone to teach me how to, or raise my depression or whatever. I now have managing my depression on my own.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
Yeah, there are lots of reasons. And if we could somehow honor those reasons. And I love my colleague Eva has a term that's in the book that I love, and it's called draw a heart around it. I'm working with a client now who's a long-term, basically very happy marriage that's coming to an end. And I said, you should draw a heart around that. And that's where you're not going to change history, but you can honor it and set it aside in love. And when you look look at it for the love it brought you, for the gratitude that you have, instead of the pain and the heartache of moving out. Because most people exhibit their worst behavior in the last dying years of a relationship. If you can sort of draw a heart around it and honor it in love for the lesson or the whatever you got from that, and not try to replicate it necessarily, but to go on and look at it with gratitude.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing is I think sometimes the timing is important, because I know I have some, friends from childhood that, we stayed in touch, but we have nothing in common anymore because we were a different place in our lives, And I have a feeling that with relationships, it's the same, beliefs change, values change, and you might grow apart, I know some people change their opinions politically and they don't get along anymore,
Right. Right, which, according to new research I just saw this week, that becomes it's more important than it ever has been.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Could be the season, silly season we're in, too. But I think one thing you're saying is really important. It's bringing up the need for staying current and coming up with a way to stay connected to each other as your lives change. You know, for example, people bond around their passions. Mm-hmm. And research shows that happy, stable couples support one another's individual passions. Like, my husband's passion is building for Habitat for Humanity. And that takes a lot of time. He donates money. And I love and support him for that because that is his passion. But what is a red flag is if you only have a passion outside your relationship.
So you should have one together.
Bond around your passion. Yes.
Oh, nice.
So
okay.
Couples, one of the ways you can manage and bridge the gap as you grow and change is having a joint passion. Because people get closer when they're passionate about the same thing.
So true.
Yeah, so it's really important to be proactive as we grow and change because that is a real life experience.
Right. Wow. For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Pat Love. Her book is You're Tearing Us Apart, 20 Ways We Wreck Our Relationships and Strategies to Repair Them. And I found the book on Amazon, so you guys can go ahead and get that. I see the paperback was released just recently in October.
Yes.
How long did it take you guys to write this book?
You know, Eva and I have been working together, and Kathleen has been working with us for several years, and so it was really important that it's important that we put this in print and help people with the information. Mm-hmm. So I would say 2 or 3 years of saying, okay, we're going to put this up and we're going to write this down. But it didn't, because of Kathleen, it didn't take us nearly as long because that's her forte.
Oh, nice.
One of the things that I just want to mention about this book, because it was really hard, but we were committed to doing it. This is a gender and orientation neutral book.
Whoa,
so when you read this book, it doesn't claim it. You can read it if you're, you know, lesbian, gay, bi, trans. So we were very careful about writing it in a way that is very inclusive. So that was very important to us.
Yeah. Very cool. Now, I see you also have a couple of other books that you've written, right? I see here on Amazon.
Yes.
Yeah.
The
Truth About Love. Highs, the Lows, and How You Can Make It Last. And then The Emotional Incest Syndrome.
Yes.
These are so you've been involved in relationships for a long time, studying them and treating them and so forth. Do you have a private practice as well where you help people?
I do. Mostly it's all relationship oriented. And I see couples and individuals in chunks of time in the intensive model. So I work with couples to try to, most of my couples come and individuals who are therapist referred. And so I work with them to get through a rough spot or a crisis or a difficult issue that they haven't been able to solve. But yes, I do, because I think it's really important to stay involved in clinical practice, and I also love it. So
there you go.
You know, it's so funny. This friend will not be named, but I do have a friend who recently went through a divorce, and he said that, his wife or ex-wife they went to marriage counseling, and every time the counselor would tell her something she didn't like, she would say, "I don't like that person. We're getting a new one."
Whoa.
Do you find that?
I know.
I mean, I just thought, oh gosh, you can't help people like that, I guess, because they just are, not wanting to see the issues.
Right. Well, and by the way, I call this book sort of a bait and switch book because let's say, take the issue of criticism. You know, if I'm living with a partner and I believe my partner is critical, then I would read that first section. Every chapter starts out the same. All the chapters have the same prototype. And it describes what it's like living with somebody who's critical. and the pain that it causes. Okay, so that's section one of each chapter. And I could see if I would read that, I would say, well, my partner needs to read this book.
Yeah.
But the next section is, well, what's the psychology behind criticism? Why do people criticize? Because and then I have to flip over and look at my partner's point of view. And then the third section is, well, how does this threaten the relationship? Mm-hmm. You know, and then the fourth section is what to do about it. The human brain is almost 99.9% subjective about you. So your friend, you know, really, we can't be objective about ourselves. We have to outsource it. That's why therapists go to therapy. But right. If I'm going to pay for this, I need to be willing to open my mind and manage my own emotions so that I can listen to good therapy. Now, granted, it's a specialty. Mm-hmm. There, you know, not everybody has been trained in couples therapy.
Right.
So this is, you know, this is a specialty. So I say what research says is if you go to someone who isn't trained in couples therapy and you're an individual and you go to complain or talk or work on your relationship, you're more likely to get divorced or separate than to stay together.
Right.
So because individual therapists are trained to ease pain, I'm not saying they can't be objective, mm-hmm. but unless you go in saying, listen, I want to work on my relationship and I want you to be on the side of my relationship, then research says there's a greater risk if the therapist hasn't been trained. So it is a specialty.
Yeah, okay. Obviously, you know, I mean, it's a lot of responsibility too, you know.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, critical people is very difficult. And I guess, you know, once people start drifting apart, that's what they do. They start criticizing each other. Dr. Pat Love, the book is You're Tearing Us Apart, 20 Ways We Wreck Our Relationships and Strategies to Repair Them. You guys can find it on Amazon. Do you also have a website or social media?
Yes.
Okay.
PatLove.com. I'm easy to find.
That is easy.
There you go. There you go. And you guys can find out more information there and everything. And Pat, thank you so much. Congratulations on the book. Give our regards to your co-authors as well. And thank you for taking the time to talk with us today.
Anytime. Thank you both.
Thank
so much.
You.
You're a lot of
Very
fun.
Very interesting. Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
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 Yeah. There you go. You see, it's a small world. You're going to meet so many people from Texas.
I know.
Now on
the
show,
you know what? It's funny because there's actually quite a large Texas population in Los Angeles.
Right.
And I was reading the other day that we have the second largest Texas Exes chapter, which is the Alumni Association, second to Austin, of course.
Really?
So, yes. Yeah, so, it's the biggest population of Longhorns outside of Texas.
Really?
Yes, yes. Which kind of figures? I mean, a lot of RTF, radio, television, and film majors come here. Lots of broadcast journalism majors like myself come here. Lots of theater majors. So,
right.
You know, that makes sense.
Yeah, so when people want to get into entertainment, this is a place to be, folks.
It is. How interesting was she?
Uh-huh.
I really want to read that book because
I know.
That's what's so amazing. I am no psychologist and I'm not trained, so this is just my observation from life. But I've noticed that, you know, anytime someone is critical or cheats or whatever, it usually boils down to something that is amiss with them.
Yeah.
It's not you. It's usually like their insecurities or, you know, something
but
along
what if,
those lines.
She was, the book talks about withholding sex and stuff. What if that happens? You know, I mean, how is that your fault? You know,
I know.
You know, maybe the person is pissed at you, but still, you know, you figure I'm not going to get love from this person. I'll go look for it outside, you know.
Yeah.
And that's a sad situation, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think in a situation like that, there's obviously like a deeper issue and that's just a consequence of the deeper issue, you know.
Right.
So maybe if you can get down to the bottom of that, then everything will kind of work itself out. But no, you're right. I mean, she was even saying sometimes it's not two people.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, like, if I'm going to go out and, you know, drink a fifth of vodka every day, then how is that my partner's fault? It's really not.
That's true, yeah. But I think it is their responsibility as well to try and fix that, you know, because if you just give up on it, then, you know.
No, I mean, that's why you say for better or worse,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you have to be there. Like, that's, yes. That's
the
so
thing.
Important.
Yeah, there's got to be the willingness to work it out. And I think that only happens if you're still in love, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people also don't understand, you know, every relationship has like a honeymoon stage, you know. And then, you know, you're in love, butterflies, blah, blah, blah. But then it's not like that. It's a different kind of love, you know.
It
becomes
does.
Like a,
yeah.
a family type of thing. You
yeah,
know? It's
so
not
true.
As much. So I think sometimes the so then the sexual attraction could you know diminish and stuff because you don't look at your partner as a sex partner anymore. You mm-hmm. look at them as, hey, this is my wife. This is my husband. You know, it's my life partner. It's family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. I think that might happen as well. I don't know. But I will definitely catch the book because I've been married twice. So maybe I have some things to learn.
We all can learn some things, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I want to read it too, actually.
Yeah, very interesting stuff. So we always get interesting people on the show, and I like that, you know.
I do too.
It's very cool.
I do too. I loved our guests yesterday as well. They were great.
Yeah, huh?
He has such an interesting story.
Foreign correspondent, and they were older folk, and they were amazing, you know.
Yeah.
I love sitting with older people because they have so much to tell, you know.
I know.
So many stories to learn. I mean, you're sitting next to someone who fought in Vietnam, you
How
know.
How amazing is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, you know. And you picture him as an 18, 20-year-old guy fighting there and then reporting from the war zones
yeah.
and stuff, you know.
What a life he's lived.
I know. Very
war
interesting.
Hero.
So, yeah. I'm always fascinated by older people.
Me too.
In the last few minutes, we can talk about Star Wars, The Force
oh
Awakens.
My God.
Open to $57 million just opening night.
You're kidding.
$57 million.
Did you go?
No, I did not go.
Did
I,
you change your Facebook profile picture?
I did not. did they have that option?
They have
now?
The option. You know how when the tragedy, terrorist
right,
attacks happened in France, you
right.
could change your profile picture.
And with
picture.
The gay rights and all that
right.
stuff.
Right, yes, yeah. they have one for Star Wars too. It's apparently on the same plane.
Really?
Gay rights and terrorist attacks. But yes, they do have a cult following.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, but no, there's no way I would have camped out to see this. I don't think anybody got to see it unless they camped out for weeks out
oh,
there.
Oh, I'm
know?
Sure.
Because there were just a lot of people wanting to see it. The only problem is now people are going to start talking about the plot and everything.
Oh, you can't go online anywhere. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Spoiler alert, big
spoilers
time.
Spoilers all over the place, you know. And I'm just curious to see this because when the original came out, I was about 17.
Oh, wow.
17 years old. So that's some time ago. But it was totally revolutionary, you know. We hadn't seen things like this. I mean, the closest thing was Star Trek, which I hadn't really been following. I wasn't mm-hmm. that much into it. I mean, I've been into science fiction, but not so much space stuff, you know. I mean,
right.
science fiction, I like the Matrix movie. I don't know if you get to see that. Or things that are more like... time travel, things like that, but not
yes.
necessarily spaceships. So when this came along and, you know, with deep characters and plots and everything,
mm-hmm.
and of course all the special effects that had not been seen before, yeah, I was blown away by it, you know. Mm. So there was a reason why it was so popular. And then I think I saw the second and the third, but then when the new three movies came out, I wasn't interested, you know.
Really?
It was just too removed from the original one. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm not the only one who felt that way, you know. I mean, many people did not like the episodes 1, 2, and 3 is what they call them.
Oh, okay.
The original ones were 4, 5, and 6.
Mm.
Yeah. Because the second trio was done as a prequel to the original one.
Oh.
So that's how they number them. But this one's number 7 in the series.
Well, I need to get rid of the program.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of them, actually. I'm ashamed to say.
I think you like it. You know, just watch the first one just so you feel that you're in tune with the culture.
Right.
You know?
I kind of want to see what everybody's talking about.
Exactly. You know, and you'll see it's amazing. You know, I mean, some characters... It's totally stuff you didn't expect before, you know.
Mm.
So it was pretty cool. But so, you know, I mean, I don't know if it's one of my favorite films, but I know also, if you can, watch it on a big screen, you know, not on TV, but at the theater if you can. So
it makes a big difference.
Right. But if you go and just see the new one, it may not make a lot of sense for you because there's characters that are returning from the old ones.
Right. Sequential, so
yeah,
okay.
So watch that. Find some time to see it.
I'll have to do that. I've been on a Netflix kick here lately. Oh my gosh, have you heard about the new Full House?
I heard they were putting it together. Is it out yet?
It's called Fuller House, I think. I guess because there are more people. Yeah. But I haven't seen the trailer, but it's been floating around the internet everywhere.
Really?
And so many people are talking about it. And I used to love Full House. It was my era when I was a kid, so I watched it all the time.
Yeah.
And so I'm gonna
have to watch
it. Was
that with the Olsen twins?
It was.
Okay, so are they going to be back in the new show?
You know, that's a really good question.
Because I know John Stamos is going to be there.
Yes.
And probably, what's the other guy's name? I forgot. It'll come to me in a minute.
Yes.
The other guy. But the Olsen twins were like so young back then, right?
I know. They were just babies.
So I wonder how they're going to do the plot now. Is it going to be new kids or what?
I'm so interested to see. I really want to watch the trailer, so I'll have to do that when I get home after this. But it's kind of all the buzz, so it'll be interesting. And, of course, Netflix. You know, people are saying, oh, I got to get Netflix now just to watch this. So good for them.
Yeah. His name is Bob Saget, by the way.
There you go. There you go.
See? It always comes to me.
Me too. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good trick to. I learned this in a book, and it works for me. If you forget something and you can't remember it, you gotta ask yourself three times consciously. You know, what is it? What is it? You know, exactly describe this, and then forget about it, and it comes to you.
Really?
Yeah. It's like they're saying it's like a file clerk. You walk up to the window, you ask him for something, he goes back and looks for it.
Uh-huh.
But if you again ask him for it, he has to come to the front again and listen to you again, so he can't look for it.
Oh, how interesting.
It is. But it works when you think of that analogy, you know?
Oh, wow.
It always comes to me, you know? So don't go like constantly, oh, I can't remember. What is it? What is it? Just ask yourself and then forget about it. And it'll come back to you, guaranteed.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah.
Noted.
Yeah. I know. So this film is obviously on track to make it the most successful movie of all times.
Really?
It already pulled $130 million worldwide since opening.
So now what did Hunger Games pull, I wonder, on the first day?
I'm not sure. But they're saying that the record holder until now was actually the last Harry Potter.
Oh, okay.
One debuted at $43 million, which is still a lot of money.
Right? Yeah.
Aren't they both Disney? Isn't Harry Potter a Disney movie? I don't remember. But Star Wars is. So they're making a bundle there.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, the director is J.J. Abrams, people like a lot. You know, he's had some great movies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever watch the show Lost, he directed that one. So that was cool.
That had a bit of a cult following as
Did
you watch it?
I didn't watch it while it was going on, but then when it came out on DVDs, we would watch it.
You know? Okay.
That was before streaming. It was a few years ago. So we would get the DVDs and do like binge watch and stuff, you know.
I do that too. I do that too. Yeah, that's what's so dangerous about it is because all the series are just right there.
They're right there.
Yeah, you don't have to wait till, you know, Wednesday at 8 o'clock for your show to come on. It's all right there.
I know.
And then, you know, they get Friends on Netflix, and that's just a disaster for me because I love Friends.
Really?
So everything takes a back burner, and I sit there and watch forever.
Wow, it's been around forever, Friends.
I know, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, gosh.
In fact, I remember when they launched it, it must have been like 96 or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I remember that, yeah. It was
great
a pretty
show.
Cool
it's
show.
A classic.
Yeah. I know. I never really watched it that much, but when I did, it was funny.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah,
it's definitely good. It's my favorite sitcom, I would say, of all time.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
I would say that. And then I don't know what comes in second for me. It's kind of a close race for second.
Yeah.
There's a lot of
I know.
Of
I used to love Three's Company. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
Oh, my gosh. I love that one, too.
Yeah. And I can't seem to find it anywhere. You know, you can't watch it anywhere. There's one TV channel that's just started. I think they call themselves Antenna TV. but you can't get it everywhere, you know? And all they show is those old sitcoms.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, and I missed them.
I mean, I used to watch it as a kid on, what, TV Land, maybe, or something like that?
Well, TV Land, I don't think existed at the time. But when that was like, I think it was in syndication
when
you were watching it when you were a kid. Yeah, like on local stations and stuff.
I know, that's a good one, too.
Yeah. All right, anyway, folks, thank you all for joining us. Kelsey, we just concluded another week together.
I know.
A very cool week. And we're going to have still more guests. Monday we're going to be here, but then you're taking off until the following Monday, right? Until the 28th.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's the following Monday.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So catch us here Monday, folks. If you can't, have happy holidays. And we'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.